welcome to No Religionistas, also known as ZephDaniel.com, also known as blog.zephdaniel.com, the blogcast. And we have many ways for you to hear us. In other words, we have two podcasts, one called No Religionistas at ZephDaniel.podomatic.com. The other one is at blog.zephdaniel.com, which is at the root zephdaniel.com. And from there, you can get to everything on what used to be Channel Z and now is called no longer Channel Z, but No Religionistas is how we began. And then, or if you like, just zephdaniel.com. And you know me from preaching the word, doing what you might call some music you just heard there, which I called Miami Vice 2012. As an avant-garde musician, if you will, I put myself in that category because I don't seem to fit in any genre in the music that I compose. I'm very influenced by film scores and by everything from classical to fusion jazz to, you know, it just comes out my, it's not, I can't say that you've heard anything like what I do before, but there are a growing number of fans out there, and you will be able to get the music through various means. Okay? I want to put a word in about our friends. A couple of sites you may need to go to for any reason, for resources, for anything to do with the best, the books that are out of print. I mean, what's it worth to you to have a book, to have insights, to be in touch with the true word, you know, I'm talking about Richard Wurmbrand, you know, who spent years in prison for his faith and wrote extensively. He's passed on now. His books are almost, you know, very hard to find. Tozer, Wurmbrand, the works of Spurgeon and others, you know, that have really been the, thinkers and the writers of the faith. At the same time, a lot of modern books, and that source is Barbara Marcotti. You can call her at 888-239-9890. That's 888-239-9890. And where is she? She's at Cornerstone Books, cornerstone-unlimited, cornerstone-unlimited.com. And you can order from there. Or if you're in North Haven, Connecticut, you can go see her at the Cornerstone Bookstore downtown, and I have no idea what the address is. If you wish to write to us, you may do so. Zeph Daniel, 5 Bisbee Court, 5 B-I-S-B-E-E Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. That's 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. Now, today, no, it's not the Z. Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on. We're going to bring Mike Horsey back. He called today. I wasn't able to get back to him. But every single thing that Mike Horsey said with the economy has happened. Every single thing. And those of you who took some advice and protected yourselves via him, well, then you were good stewards, weren't you? Money is not our money. It belongs to the Lord. We all know that. I mean, those of us who are on this path, on the way, we know that. We've learned that the hard way, some of us. Okay. Well, if you know it's going to be taken away from you and stolen from you, if you know that someone is out there prophesying, basically, that's really what we're talking about, prophesying that it won't be there in the future, that it's going down, it's going to be worthless, and here's a way to protect yourself so that you don't lose precious resources that could go to help feed the hungry, that could help clothe the poor in some way, that could help in some way, and could help your family survive, well, you know, you were warned. And anyway, it was 100% accurate. He'll be here not to say I told you so, but to say I want to talk to him about what is next. What is next? And I'm sure that will be accurate, too. Today, very special lady that we met, sister in Christ. And she comes from the Caribbean, from the island of St. Martin, and is also on the island of Guadeloupe visiting there. And she is just gave some testimony and a word and some words yesterday, and then we just decided, well, we've got to see what she has to say to all of you and us, and see if what the Lord is saying today. But she just had this Holy Spirit like you can't believe, and a real, you know, just another great, warrior for Christ, if you will. And she just is an uncompromising word person, a prophetess, maybe you could say that. I don't know. We can't put labels because we all have different gifts and some overlap. But I would just say this is someone you need to meet. Her name is Sister Adelaide, and I'm going to bring her here from the Caribbean right now. Hello.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Well, I'm good since we last talked. That was a very encouraging exchange we had yesterday.
Oh, yes. That was wonderful.
I feel that you really have something to say. And well, right now what we have in America, Adelaide, is the commercial church. People are wondering what went wrong.
So
I'm going to start right off and ask you, okay, we're talking about this. There's a little delay there. That probably can't be helped because we're on the phone to the island of Guadalupe.
Yes.
Okay. So basically, the churches here, the people are wondering and they're asking their pastors, why is God punishing us?
I don't think so. I think we've derailed in understanding kingdom principles. And we build church. We say church, but he said it's the kingdom. The church belongs to him, but he promised to give us the kingdom. And somewhere along the line, I think he's taking us back to that place in understanding kingdom principle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like speaking a little bit.
Yes.
On the kingdom.
Go ahead.
The kingdom, the word, define it a little bit. Kingdom. There's a king and there's a dom. There's a king in a dominion. A king has a domain. A king is rulership in his domain. We are his subjects. In his dominion, we are being trained to take back the dominion anointing that we lost in the fall. An example, we may think we go to the sea and you said, I'm going to fish. We say we have dominion, and we say that a lot. And we go to the sea with our bait and a line. And we go to catch some fish. And sometimes we have a lot of struggle catching a fish. There are times when we go back home and there's no fish on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we say we have dominion, but not even the fishes want to listen to us. I remember when Jesus wanted money to pay his taxes. He paid taxes sometimes. Believers don't like to hear that we need to pay taxes. But Jesus respected that.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Peter to go to the sea and he will find a fish with a coin in its mouth. He will take that and pay the taxes for all of them. So that is dominion. He could tell exactly where it was. And the need was met then to do what he had to do. I also look at it. There's a difference. We know democracy. Mm-hmm. In the earth, we say we have democracy. Democracy is quite different to a kingdom. Those of us in the Caribbean who were ruled by Britain for a while may have a clearer understanding of what it is like to live in a monarchy where you are subject to all authority. And everything has the stamp of the king or the queen that rule or that monarch is on everything. His name is there. He is in total control. Democracy is for the people, by the people. But a kingdom, the king rules in his domain. And you are subject to his authority. So somewhere, sometimes, I believe we misunderstand the concept and we look at God and his kingdom as a democracy rather than a monarchy. He's in total control. Judas misunderstood this because the Jews was really looking for a king who would sit on the throne and deliver them from the Roman Empire. But he didn't come to do that then. But what he came to prove that he was king and he was Lord. He's coming back to do that. But then he wasn't, because the Roman Empire ruled the earth and they went as far as taking domain in Jerusalem. That moved God, and he knew that was the time to send Jesus, because the time was right to represent the king that would come. Judas was from Judah, and Judah was the elite tribe in Israel. And he was very learned. You can imagine, he had the bag of the money. He was the accountant.
So yeah, he was the bag man.
Yes, he was the bag man. So he spent, and he knew what was there, and he determined how much to spend. But he was following Jesus from afar, testing whether he was really who he was. But when Jesus said, "Wash one another's feet," I think because he was not following with his heart, he was set up by the enemy to be used. Because he said, "No, no way can a king wash people's feet." And many times people get offended because the principle of the kingdom does not suit their mindset of what they think a king would be.
So maybe in America they don't want to be subjects.
No, because they learn democracy. They are controlled by democracy.
Right, so it's kind of like, you know, well, let's vote on who the pastor should be. There's not someone that has authority by the Holy Spirit, and then from there you obey, you know, you trust that and obey. You don't vote.
You just obey. In the kingdom of God, you don't vote. In democracy, you vote. It's for the people, by the people. So then, if you don't suit the people, they vote you out. But you can't vote God out. He's king in his kingdom.
Okay, so when I ask, what happened to the churches in the world where they became money-grubbing organizations, they became very concerned with politics, with worldly affairs. In fact, even concerned with making sure people fit into the world properly.
We are to impact the world, what a true kingdom is, because Jesus did not take away the Roman Empire. He didn't take it down. What he did was he came right along and he built his kingdom right along the kingdom, the Roman kingdom. Yeah. So he was proving which kingdom was. No matter where we are, we should prove whose kingdom we are. It's either we choose we're in a democracy or we're in a domain of a king that he rules and we are subject to his rule.
Right, and you could be next to other people who are not, who are with, let's say, in the worldly kingdom of Satan, let's say, that's their kingdom, and you're in your kingdom, but, so, in a sense, they can't do anything to you because you have nothing to, there's no crossing there. In other words, they're in their kingdom, you're in your kingdom, and you prove.
That's right.
Go ahead.
They are in contrast. You don't have to force anything on them. You just be. And as you be, it is visible to see the outworking of the kingdom. You can't see the kingdom because it's within you.
But what you do
determines what's flowing out of you.
Okay, so they see it, and you know, the idea then would be, they look at real power and they drop what they're doing because they say, look, what you've got is much better, or they get angry and attack, or they take over the church and decide they're going to run it for Satan and then say they got Jesus on the cover. So it's okay.
That's okay. They can do all of that.
Okay.
But that does not intimidate God.
Yes. Oh,
God is not frustrated.
Right.
We get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you embrace that or not, nothing changes. God is. And that's it.
So no matter what game we play, he's still God. We're not going to get
it. He is.
Yeah, amen.
And he will be.
Yesterday we talked about courage to go, to be who you are. You know, you're a sister in Christ. I'm a brother in Christ. To be who we are and then go different places without fear. We talked about this for quite a while yesterday. And it seems like in this country, and you're now ministering from the Caribbean to us, but in this country, we have many people who are afraid to go out and be who they are.
But that is not a kingdom expression. That's not a kingdom expression. Because that kingdom is not ruled by fear. The kingdom of God is not ruled by fear. And the kingdom of God is never intimidated. Sometimes when the battle gets so rough, Daniel was one of the men who experienced that, because he stood for the kingdom in the midst of an evil empire.
Right, so he experienced hardship and torture and you know, all kinds of things. Well, he had favor too, and then it would just like it does with a lot of us, you have favor for a while, then all of a sudden it turns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we will be tested.
Right, I see.
To prove whether the kingdom is in us. But we have to make up our minds. If we die, we die for the kingdom. But we will not bow. Like Daniel didn't bow. It's like you bite the bullet. When you stand up for Jesus, you have to have the guts
yes.
to also bite the bullet. Because some of the things you will stand up for is not going to be pleasant.
Wow.
No.
Okay, biting the bullet might mean standing up and being who you are in Christ.
Regardless.
And even though it's very, they'll be mocking or they'll try to hurt you or they might even kill you.
Exactly. To confirm what I was saying, that God is, Psalm 46, 45 verse 6 says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom." His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom cannot be contested. His kingdom can never be overthrown. And you don't give him command in his kingdom. He gives you command.
So you don't say, "God, if you give me this, I'll do that."
You can say that because you have a liberty to speak. He gives you access to speak, so you speak. But he lets you know for sure, "I am king in my domain."
Yeah.
I can share with you what I choose to share with you because I love you. But you must be my subject. Can you imagine? He created us. He made all of these things. When you look around you and see nature and the beauty all around you, and then turn around and tell God who made you, "You not ruling me." My goodness. This is rudeness.
Or you didn't do it good enough. Let me help you.
Yes. In his own dominion.
That's our science industry, right? We have scientists who say, "Well, it you did a pretty good job, but let me go ahead and complete it for you."
Oh yes, we really doing a job by unfixing it. We spoiling and turning everything wrong.
Yeah,
he gave it to us. He gave it to us to rule.
Yes.
But we are destroying it instead of ruling it by his principle. You see, because we have our own principle in ruling the kingdom, and we do not apply his principle. So that's why it's in chaos.
It's in total chaos, sister.
Yes.
I mean, unbelievable chaos. And really, it's just coming down to some new saints being called now. They're being given these spiritual gifts because it's kind of like the anointing is moving. I'm talking about America now, not the world. But it's like the anointing is moving from those it was given to for a while, and they made businesses out of whatever they did, you know? And now it's moving to these people that are, you would think, oh no, they would never be. They're satanic, they're awful, but they're being called.
But you know, we are so slow in learning. And history repeats itself. You know,
mm-hmm.
People that were before us made the same mistake. And the kingdom is still here. We're still repeating the mistakes. We're not learning from past centuries. It's trying to stifle the word, kill those who believe. You can't put God in a box and imprison him. He'll be God.
Well, Herod tried to kill all the firstborn, you know. I mean, he did and failed, but this was just to show that it can never happen. You can't kill all of God's people. They will never have their one world in allegiance to Satan with every single being saying, I bow down to you. It won't happen.
It will not.
No.
That's impossible.
Yes, it's impossible.
Some of us will die. That's fine. The word says that already.
Yes, it does.
When he talked to the church in Revelation, he said, some of you are where the kingdom of darkness
mm-hmm.
is seated. He said, but for a while, you know, continue and don't compromise.
Okay. You have a message. I think this is a very strong word, and you present it in a very nice way, but it's what you're saying is like taking out a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And in the same time, you say, bite the bullet.
Yes, bite it.
Sometime you're going to have to bite the bullet, and you know what? They might put a bullet in your head because you say, they get you in a corner and you say, I'm sticking with Jesus, and then that's it.
But David said, laugh not at me, my enemies. My back is up against the wall. I admit it. But my God shall come, and he shall deliver me. Daniel and his two friends were thrown in the furnace, turned up higher than it should have been. Those who threw them in were consumed, but they survived the fire. Sometimes we are cowards. When we see the enemy unleashing, we back away. But he's a coward. We need to stand up. He will turn fire on you just to make you give up. Because you are a threat to his kingdom. But when Daniel stood, there's a cause. You don't go into the cause without a purpose. Daniel didn't find himself there. He just refused to bow. And because he refused to bow, then the enemy came in and God came right in there and saved them. The king himself said, I saw four men walking in the fire. Didn't we put three men? And one looked like the Son of God. How he knew that it was the Son of God. Even the wicked will get divine revelation of God when that time comes. The very ones who kill you will get a revelation of who your God is.
Why do they? Let me be very naive, because there's a lot of people that want to. I want to ask a naive question. And let me do this. Why do they want to kill us?
Because of who's in you, because of Christ, the world loves the sin. We love sin. And a man that does not want the light revealed, he likes darkness. And the light in you is uncovering the darkness. And he doesn't want the darkness to be revealed. So he's angry. He's not even sometimes aware why he's angry.
Because the
prince is in him. And the light in you, light and darkness they don't live together. When light comes in, the darkness has to leave.
It's that power. So what they want to do is get the better of you and degrade you to turn that light out, and then
exactly. They
want to make you their slave and say, look, you want to be as powerful as me, you have to work your way up. So go ahead.
Yes, that's it.
I've seen that. Well, we understand that the kingdom of Satan, or the kingdom of the world, if you like, is a slave. It's a slave contract.
That's right.
It's and there are many, many people, Adelaide, who are trapped in this slave contract, but they think, oh, I can never get out of this. It's too powerful.
That's the deception. That is the deception. The enemy is a connival. And he did it to Samson. He sent Delilah at her. And he did it to him. And he was trapped. And the enemy can have you, you know, sometimes when you stand up for God and he find a way around to trap you. But if you trust God, your hair will grow there.
Yeah.
The anointing begins to pick up on you for whatever reason, whether you did not obey God and you find yourself in a situation and your heart turned to God and begin to cry in that thing. Right in the enemy's camp, God will raise you back up and the enemy is blind to it. That's how the church grows. The kingdom grows in the face of principalities and powers. They're looking at the church and they can't do nothing about it. Why is it they crucified Jesus and they said if they had known, they would not. They thought death was the end. But death is the entrance to life.
You hear that out there? We have it a little bit backwards. We're in a materialist country here. And, you know, it's very, we live in a materialist Western world, in fact. And you two in the Caribbean and everywhere nowadays, just about everywhere on the planet is Westernized.
Yes.
Meaning, I like to say, Satanized. You know, because it's all about this materialism and being afraid of death. That's right.
Yes, you're afraid of death. You're afraid of death. And that's death that makes the church grow. It's always persecution that increases the church.
We understand in China there's a very vibrant church growing. Of course, we don't know a lot about it, except from testimonies from people that come from there. They talk about many, many martyrs being taken and the church growing at leaps and bounds now, despite because of all that.
But you know why? Because it is not confined to walls. It is not walled. Because of the walled buildings we sit in, we lose the concept of kingdom. You can't wall the kingdom. The kingdom is world spectrum. And there's no walls there. It's broad. So sometimes we forget. So some persecution comes, so we move from the walls, and the kingdom begin to expand once you catch it.
Well, it's going to expand whenever it wants to. You know, it's amazing to see that a weed will, like we talked yesterday, how some little plants and weeds, they grow in only good in the rocks. You put them in good soil, and they don't do very well at all.
Exactly. Some of us will get there and we'll find hardships to get to where we don't see it as a plan of God. And God can use the worst. Look through history. Every time God is about to intervene, most of the times he uses a child. I've never seen an enemy raise up against children like today. Mm-hmm. Destroying the kids.
Yeah.
But God has a plan. Moses was the child of his century. There is the child for this season in the earth right now. I know God has his hand. God is not out of control. He is in control, people. Take heart.
Yeah, courage. And listen, are you feeling it now out there? Are you feeling this courage? See, the word here for you today, I think what Adelaide's bringing to us, is she's bringing not an encouragement, but she's touching us with this. I can't explain what you're doing, actually, but something's going on here.
Yes.
It's building courage right now. And can you feel it out there? There's a courage being built in your heart right now. It's being given by a supernatural thing, and she's speaking the word of it, and it's coming into your heart. Do you feel that? I feel it right now. Do you feel that?
Yes.
That's going on right now. She's being used to build our courage, because that's what we're going. But isn't courage effortless?
No.
It takes
courage. You have to go through the fire to be courageous. I had to be tested by fire. When my faith speak, I just invite the hood of hell to come at me. Because true faith must, is obligated to come under fire. Because you don't know if it's genuine until the fire touches it. He said, you will be tested in the furnace of fire 7 times. This is his word. You'll be purified like silver. And when you put gold into the fire, it's to purify it, remove the impurities. We're afraid of pain, but pain is our friend.
I agree. This is the word. This is what we must hear now. This is what we have to prepare for.
Yes, because it's going to get tougher. And the word says, if the footman is tiring you, what will the horseman do? If we give up now what is coming down the line, what are we going to do? One of the last things the Lord showed me is an explosion is going to take place in the atmosphere. And this thing came right over the Middle East. I saw it. Aircrafts in the air just vanished. People were flying all over. Things were happening. Nations were moved from their location, their latitude and longitude. They no longer sat there. They were somewhere under the seabed. What are we going to do? God is with us.
The word says the men's hearts will fail them because of fear.
Well, exactly what's happening in the vision. While that was happening, I was walking among the people and just telling them, take heart, don't allow your heart to fail you for fear. People were dying all around my feet because they panicked and they were dropping dead because of fear. Fear can just kill you. You just get a heart attack because you're afraid. If you are afraid, you don't have faith. When fear is present, faith is not in action. And you can only please God by faith. But faith has to come under fire because it has to be proven if it was God's faith or if you had faith in something else.
Okay, so right now what's important to know is it's not a matter of if we are tested, my friends. It's when we are tested.
Exactly.
And we must be ready. We must accept that we have to be tested, and if you haven't been tested, and I'm sure most everyone listening to this program has been tested somewhat, but the big test is, will you die for Jesus?
And will you die in faith? Some of the people did not receive what they believed God for, but can you die in faith?
Well, that's a question I can't answer unless we're in that situation. We'll find out.
Exactly.
How, Adelaide, how can we make sure that so a lot of us are cowards. We don't put our hand over the flame. We're not macho. We're not going to be, you know, becoming daredevils and climbing up a building straight up. We don't like pain. We're afraid of death. And this is just a normal reaction. What makes somebody capable of going through this fire?
Because you just trust God, and you know what he says is true, and he will take care of you, and you build confidence in God, that you can say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's a lack of trust. It's a lack that we don't believe, even though I'm going through that, God will take care of me, because there are so many things that crowd our concept today, that we lost the simplicity of putting our trust in the word of God. And we get confused by listening to voices around us instead of listening to the Word. The Word is established forever. The Word is full of power. It's already charged with power to bring to pass what God has already said.
And if you don't believe, I was just reading about Elisha raising the dead boy to life.
Yes.
And saying, and I just read this chapter. And I was so gratified because I saw, you know, it's not logical that this boy could be brought back. This boy was dead, totally dead, and Elisha brought him to life as an act of God, if you will, through Elisha.
You see, that's our situation. We are facing some situation that is going to take an act of God to intervene. But we want him to prove himself.
But see,
but he can't prove himself at that level if there's not a situation to prove himself. That people will look at it and know, hey, this is God.
Yeah, but Elisha, I mean, this would have been embarrassing because there was the mother and there was the other witnesses around when he did, you know, say he went in and failed. It would be terrible. So, I mean, there's the tendency, don't do something like that. Don't stick your neck out, because if it fails, then they won't believe.
Well, he had no choice, you know.
Yes.
He was put in a corner. He had no choice.
True.
Prophets are sometimes put into difficult situations. You go and prophesy a word, or you said, and the people come at you, say, you said that. Now prove it.
Oh, yeah.
You better know your God before you open your mouth.
Well, they want to crucify you before the word comes due.
Of course.
Then after the word comes due, they go, oh, you were right. Oh, sorry, we killed you.
A prophet is always sitting in a hot seat.
Oh,
if you don't obey God, you die. If you don't obey the people, you die. So what are you going to do? You're caught up you have to make a choice. You obey God if the people kill you, but he will save you. But if God kills you, you're in trouble.
If you prophesy accurately, the people do want to kill you.
Oh, yes, because they want to hear what feels good to them. A prophet is in a tight spot. He has to prophesy death sometimes. To those who want to live, and prophesy life to those who want to die.
Oh, yeah.
So he's always, you know.
Well, I tell you, and the prophecy goes to who will be given a word of various people have prophetic gifts, and I know that we use those, but some of the messages are not, easy. Like, for example, the prophets today will be silenced, and new ones will be brought up in their place. That was a word I gave recently. Yeah, regarding all these, we now have all these prophets fighting each other. We have ones who've been on TV that say, we're going to have so much prosperity, we're going to be so successful, the president is going to be a conquering hero in Iraq, and he's a Christian, and everything is wonderful for Jesus. You better invest now, because by 2007, by the end of 2007, the market will be up so high, you may not get a chance.
God's market never go out. God never go out of anything.
Yeah.
Well, there's an abundance for everything.
Yeah. Well,
in God's kingdom.
This prophet prophesied all that, and it did not come due.
Well.
So what happened is when he goes to an auditorium, though, they fill up and buy many tickets because he says what they want to hear.
Well, you see, we mustn't be so gullible. We have to be careful. You know, go to the Word and test things. Even though somebody is speaking, you don't test the person, but you test the spirit. Well, a lot of things we do, we test the people. You don't test the servant. You test the spirit of the prophecy.
Uh-huh.
Now, you see, what is prosperity anyway? Prosperity is not money. What is wealth? Wealth is more than money.
Well, some people would say wealth is health. Once they learn a few things.
God gave us wealth. He gave us riches. And if you don't appreciate the wealth that God gives, then you will not know how to handle money, because money is not all wealth.
Right. It's a stewardship is what it is. It's God's money, but that's a lesson that I think some of us learn the hard way, that we understand that we're not here for ourselves, we're here to serve God. It's not our money, it's His money. Not by my will, but by His will. We have to learn those lessons.
I am not mine, I am His.
You're His, yes.
Everything I have is His. So I'm wealthy. I may not have money in my pocket, but I'm wealthy. So I don't know, it's a concept where we see or what we think wealth is. So we get caught up in the saga of running after things and not running after Him. He holds the pocketbook. If you're running after it, you won't get it because he has it. It will fail you. It will disappoint you.
Mm-hmm. It can become worthless as well because it's not something permanent. It's not something that lives forever.
he said that. Look what happened to Enron. Those of us that put our money in the banks and trust, you know, we trust in our money and we don't put our trust in him. So he said that will happen in the end. We will have all the money, but it will be of no use. We'll be throwing it on the streets because it can't buy anything. And we're beginning to see these things happening already.
Yes. I can testify now to you that today was another amazing day with the American economy. I'm just watching as people become, and we have people here who did prophesy all this, and they accurately, I mean, almost to the month, but the people didn't, you know, many of them did not prepare.
Yeah, we were not. That's the whole thing. The Lord is sending the warning. But we've seen, we're looking at what we've seen and saying, no, that can't be. I mean, we get into the era of information and the net that we no longer make decisions based or listening to the Holy Spirit anymore. Mm-hmm. We listen to what information that we get, and we plan according to the information because we probably have 5 years ahead long plan. And the Holy Spirit is saying something now. We put him aside, and we gone for information and not divine revelation.
When did you have this vision of the nuclear airburst in the Middle East?
It was a little before 9/11. It was just before 9/11 I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems that I've seen a very similar vision. I've inquired of the Lord recently, and it was get ready for this. I haven't shared this with the people yet, but it's get, you know, I need to test and check a little more, but it's something like what you're saying.
Yeah, it's an explosion that came not from the earth. It came from the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is in the atmosphere. It exploded. And it came down to the earth. Whatever that happened, I don't know, but it caused such a trauma. And God is saying that everything is going to be realigned. Even the earth is screaming in realignment. And even the church, that form will not hold. It's like God is expanding and he's stretching, and we're trying to hold the old form. It will not hold.
Yeah, we can't hold it in place and keep it where we want it. It's going to change.
No, he's changing it. And some people are fighting to hold on to that old thing. He's way out there going, and we're still beating the old drums. We got to get with it. He determines the season. To discern the seasons of God is very important. And flow with it. Don't come against it. Flow with it.
That's good advice. What do you think is going to happen in this season that we're in now? Do you see this, for example, the world going into more of a darkness now, or how do you see
Yes, the world is going into a dark, but those that believe God will get into the bright light of God. There's a brightness for his people. Now, there is a master revival coming. People are building mega this and mega. It's fine. It's okay. But God says, I'm going to build a mega. When I build a mega, there's no preacher that's going to preach to people, because everything's going to shake so much that masses of people is going to get saved into that situation. And there'll be no preacher preaching to them.
Awesome.
He said, how are you going to conquer them? How are you going to know where they are? Because I'm going to save them by myself.
That's right. Well, I don't think any preacher saves anyone. They're just there as a focal point, but at the same time, only God saves.
That's right. We try our best. We try, but it's like he's saying, relinquish the ownership on the people. Let them go.
Yeah, let them go.
Let them go. We are safe to go. We are not safe to stay. We are safe to go. He said, go.
I think the job of each preacher is, you know, you, like, for example, when we, on the internet, it's so transient. We have people that come to listen, and when they've heard enough, then they move on. And that's what they're supposed to do.
That's right.
And that's what I say. I say, when you've had enough here, go move on then to the next thing. Keep moving. You're, it's you, between you and God, not me and you and God.
That's right. That's right.
And so that's we have that message here. We keep saying that.
I think you know, without cutting across, that's why we are in this chaos, and we wonder what's happening, because it seems like God is changing things, and until we obey, and He's not going to allow what we used to do. That's not going to allow anymore. We can continue if we wish to. But He'll be going with those that are ready.
Adelaide, are you on the internet? I know the answer, but I just ask.
I don't know. I don't go on the net. Sometimes I'm somewhere remote into back places. When I come closer and I hear, and I'm saying, what? God is talking everywhere in the remotes. No TV, no radio, yeah. He's talking.
Well, you're on the internet now. I mean, with this broadcast, this would be probably your first time on the internet to be.
You bet. That's right.
Listened to by probably thousands of people, and you're going to hear her for the first time on the internet. Her voice, somehow through a confluence of events, if you will, brought Adelaide through our brother to this talk here that you're hearing now to the internet to speak to. I know someone out there.
Oh yeah.
Maybe more than a few. This is the message we need to hear. So I'm going to also invite you back again now, because you can speak on any subject, but there's something you do. There's something that we're getting from your words. This basic understanding.
Yes, I know, because he had me at the backside of the desert, mm-hmm. preparing me for almost 30 years. Before He released me, because I had to be ready.
And you've gone through your trials we talked about.
Oh, my dear.
Do you feel like talking about any of those tonight, or your testimony, like, for example, the illness that you overcame? And
Oh, yes. I was very disobedient to God. From the time I got saved, I know my heart was crying for the church. When I saw, and I saw what I saw, and I knew what I read, and I knew the God that met me, He has more. And I wasn't satisfied. And I was in turmoil. And I keep asking God, why is your house in such a condition? What is wrong? And I didn't give up. I kept after Him. And so He was bringing me into encounters with some forces of darkness. Some within the house, it was all around me. And then He was carving my heart and transforming me, teaching me to forgive, to love, and to humble myself. And one day He asked me, do you really love my people? I said, I do. He asked it to me about 6 times. I said, yes, Lord, I do. Well, you know my heart. So He said, all right. You want my church to be a bride. That's what you read in the scripture. You said, you are coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You quote it. He says, but you must first be willing to be a bride before you can go tell my people to be a bride. But He said, I ask you to wear white for the rest of your life. And you do not want to. If in such a simple thing you are so rebellious, how do you want you to be able to see the church become the bride? And I still fought. And one day certain situations transpired. And then He spoke to me the final time. Because I delayed in doing that, I got very ill. And I saw that I was dying in the vision. I saw what happened. I would want to go into a long story. But finally, I said, what am I doing in a precipice, rolling to my death, when I should be at a bridal ceremony? As I said that, I was caught up by a net from the atmosphere, and I was put flat on the land to stand away from the precipice, and I was heading towards the bridal ceremony. When I got in there, I was clothed with another garment from my head to my feet. And I was ushered into a room, and they sung that song of surrender to me when Mary surrendered her life to the Lord. And he looked at me and he said, "Now go and tell the world what great things I've done for you." At that time, I had begun to have the cancer, but I surrendered that time. After it was over, he said, "Look back. If you had not surrendered, you'd have never made it." So sometimes our character, unmolded, unyielded to God, can cause trauma. But he's faithful. He is faithful. He brought me out of this cancer. I had a cancer of the esophagus. And then he took me to New York. When he raised me up and showed me, he sent me to New York 3 weeks after being in bed for 3 months. He said, "Go to New York. I have an encounter to meet you in New York." I was upset. "I am so weak and you're still sending me." He said, "Adelaide, in that arena that I brought you, I do not want any rebellion from you. No arguments, no debate, only surrender." I said, "Okay, okay." And it was from there the rest of the healing process began to unfold. And today, I am totally healed. But what? I am wearing white every day of the year, 24 hours a day. The purpose is, when you wear white, you're sending a message to the church. Have your garments unsoiled and unspoiled. I am coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Guard your heart, for out of your heart comes out the issues of life. I am after your heart. I didn't know I had a sermon, and now I can present the gospel. When people ask me in such a simple way, "Why do you always wear white?" And I would say, "Why?"
Wow. And so you're going to wear white until you're given a new garment.
Yes, all the rest of my life. But it was a revelation. And he said to me, from now on, you will be wearing pearls and diamonds, because I was given a crown over my head. So I thought, well, maybe at the end of my journey, when I get before God, I'll be crowned. I didn't understand it. It took me 5 years after that to understand the revelation. Sometimes when God says something, we think we catch it, you know. We will not get the revelation until we obey. We want God to tell us first. He said, "No, you obey me first. When you obey me, then the revelation will unfold." I didn't want to go in that place. And I fought. And I knew I had to go. With tears I went. And when I went, that was when the revelation came. The crown that you saw was on your head. It is made of diamonds. And you get diamonds at the depth of the ocean, in the valve of the volcano. Diamond is formed by fire and pressure. The beauty that is going to come out of my life, like the anointing you're hearing now, it came by fiery trials. The pearls is caught in the oyster when a grain of sand goes between its flesh and its shell. It causes an irritation. So the Lord says to me, the anointing will rest on you by fiery trials and by irritation of the Spirit.
Wow. This is what we already know, but we forget. In other words, you know, the great saints throughout the time, the ones that we will never have all the names to until later.
Yes.
All of them have had trials. All have had. I myself, when I think about being disobedient on small things, like maybe not small things, okay?
Yes.
But I think I can see right now where I've been disobedient and then suffered because of it.
Church, yes. I can say to church now, I know you're listening to me. There is no other way to grow. stop looking for the other way. Anointing is intensified in the fiery trial. You only shine and polish when you go through the fire.
Yes.
But not just going through the fire, but going through the fire with the right attitude.
Okay, let's talk about attitude. It's really easy to get a bad attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you have any advice for, like, if someone wants to have a good attitude despite hardships? Is there anything?
You know what builds good attitude? Praise in the fire.
Yes.
Thankfulness in the fire. It changes your heart. At first, I used to scream. And I learned. God showed me something and I learned. I would be put into this furnace. You know, it's not just when I behave that way, I would be locked into the furnace. And I would be pounding on the door, let me out, let me out. And the more I do it, is the higher he turned up the flame. So I learned. I said, okay, if I just submit, praise him, go through this with a right attitude, I'm going to come out sooner. Or what I used to do is abandon the area of pain. Run away. And I thought when I got away, it's over. He'd be waiting for me right where I left. When I get to the end of the way, he said, go right back from where you left. So I learned that I have to go all over again. And sometimes the next test is harder. So I develop a right attitude. To develop a right attitude is learn that sometimes it is perplexing you because sometimes you overwhelm and you want to say something which he has not released you yet to say things. You might say something that is not what you should say. So let your mouth be filled with praise. That's why he said give him praise in everything. I learned to be a praiser. It's only Judah that led the army to victory. Only Judah can lead to the front. Judah means praise. And praise means plow. So you plow with praise.
Well, there you go.
And God comes in. When the going get rough and you want to say something, say, hallelujah, Jesus, I praise you.
No, poor
let
me.
Let that come from your mouth instead.
I'm terrible. I'm dying. I'm sick. Everything's wrong. I've got no money. How could you do this to me, Lord?
No. It's for your good. It's for your good. It might look good, but it's for your good. In the long run, you'll see it. Learn to praise him through the pain. Praise him in the fire. I would pick up my tambourine. And I go down through the halls and I'm giving him praise. When I get the pain so strong, I speak it to praise God, bro. In a few minutes it's left. It comes back, you know, but gives me a break.
There you go. That's where the, okay. Well, look, there we go. Adelaide, I want to just thank you so much for being here and invite you back again and thank Brother Antoine, who's also been my guest in the past.
Yes.
Who has a very big prophetic anointing on his life. And I thank both of you. And I want you to don't go anywhere. Stay right there. We're going to hear a little bit of music. Anything you want to add, Adelaide? How about this? Would you take us to the conclusion with a prayer?
Yes. I really want to pray. How long do I have still?
You have as long as you want.
Okay. Turn on the music and I'll come back with the prayer, okay?
Oh, no, I don't need to have the music. I mean, we can have a prayer.
No. Keep the music going for a little while, maybe 5 minutes, and I'll be back with you.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm not going to... Okay, this is unusual, but let's do it. Be sure to tell your friends, anyone that you know who is going through a trial, people in prison or who have hardships from losing their jobs or whatever it may be, please go ahead and burn this to a CD and get it to them right away, won't you? I expect to see a lot of activity. We'll bring you more shows like this, don't worry, but I mean, you see, we've taken a turn. Now we're going to bring our sister in Christ, Adelaide, back. Adelaide, are you there?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm going to pray that the body of Christ will develop and grow and accept the graces. There are things within the body that is preventing us. So I'm going to ask, Father, we thank you for your people. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your joy. We thank you that you are Lord and you sit on your throne forever and forever. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. And you're teaching us how to praise you through the seasons of life, through the changes. You are in control. I pray that the spirit of fear will not dominate. The spirit of fear will be broken. We come against fear. We come against intimidation. Your power is great, and I pray you will plant a seed in the heart of the listeners, wherever they are listening now, to understand the greatness of God, the power of God, the might of God, the wisdom of God, the strength of God, the joy of God. Your kingdom rules. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it doesn't matter what is happening now. You are in total control. I pray that our faith, we will lock arms together and we will begin to declare what you have said. Your word is full of power. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the weapons we fight war with, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of stronghold, by casting down imagination and every wicked thing that raises itself against the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We pull them down. We pray for mindsets to change, that we will begin to believe the word that we read, that God is real and he is not asleep, but he is awake. His hand is not short that he cannot deliver. His ears is not heavy that he cannot hear, but he is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I pray for a coming together of our faith, that it will rattle in the atmosphere and things will begin to change and things will begin to shift and things will begin to find their position, because we believe, and the angels are backing us because we believe, and we believe what God has said, and we believe the end, we win. We triumph over wrong. We triumph over evil. We overcome evil with good, regardless of those who persecute us, that we will love them, that we will forgive them, that we will learn to turn the other cheek, because the Lord is with us and he loves us. I thank you for courage for your people. Give them that joy. Give them that peace. I pray they will lie down and sleep, for you will give your beloved sweet sleep, that we will not worry, neither be afraid. For you have not given us the spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. For I pray for a sound mind over the nations of the world. Every nation will listen and flow and respond to God positively. They will know that you are in control. For you said there is no nation where your voice is not heard. Speak in their own language and let them hear you, God. Let them respond to you. And we thank you for what you're going to do, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Okay, I'm not going to say anything else because that's perfect. Thank you, right. Lord. Thank you, Adelaide. Thank you, Antoine.
You're welcome.
Now stay right there, okay? I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to be back. And I'm going to wrap this up. And like I said, you've got a job to do now. You're going to get this. I know there are thousands of out there that download because I see the statistics. But what I need is I need you to spread this to millions. Okay? I just put it on a CD and do something, will you? You know, you're looking for a chance to get involved in ministry. Well, this is it. Zeph Daniel, I've had nothing else. Thank you for joining us on No Religionistas or the blogcast or ZephDaniel.com or wherever you are hearing it, anywhere on the web. God bless you. And this was a talk with Sister Adelaide. Sister Adelaide from St. Martin in the Caribbean and visiting our friend in Guadeloupe. And with that, I bid you shalom and peace and love and joy. And let's just go ahead and listen to this all over again, shall we?